Is your business making $100,000?
No.
78% of businesses have failed to scale their company.
We have scaled ours from $2,500 to $2.4 million in 4 years.
If you want to be like the 22% of us that has succeeded,
stay tuned as we discuss how we scaled our business in Go Get the Money. So what do you need to do to set up for you can get ready to scale? So we're going to talk about kind of what we plan to do for our next journey and kind of the process. And then we're going to talk a little bit about just kind of what we've done in the past. So and there's kind of like four different ways that we can go from it. Just your planning, your budget, your time frame, and then your end goal. That's kind of the main points right there. So we're going to go through both of those. So anyway, at first, our goal was to get it as big as possible. And we went from like 2,500 to the next year, 900 something thousand. It's like a three, almost a 4X. So that was the goal. And we met the goal.
Yeah.
The time frame was a year. Pretty straightforward on there. The plan was by any means necessary, technically, which yeah. I'm pretty sure most of their plans are similar to this right now.
Oh, yeah.
So I would say, like, I think our original plan, what was our main plan? Do you remember?
Well, I think the main plan that we were talking about is just, like, putting everything back in the business and, like, I guess suffering.
Yeah, suffering and, with a big ass.
I think one of the examples we've always said is, like, the business is like a plant, and we want to baby it all the way up until, like, it's big and it provides a lot of fruit, but we don't want to pick from it too early to stunt its growth. So basically, we threw all our money back in it, and it's worked very well for us.
Yeah. So that was kind of the main thing. And then realistically, our plan was that we make profit, we take that profit, put the profit back into the business, and keep doing it over and over. While also that when people come in and request new items, we're gonna buy those items after people rent from us, and use that money to purchase more items, so we can dictate which way we want to go. That was kind of the plan. I think most of you guys on that plan, they don't think that's a good plan, to be honest now. That's what we started at, but it's not something that we're not continuing that. We didn't do that, any of that this year at all.
No.
It's a good way to get started really fast. It works out depending on the seasons you have. But if you're spending, because then when you're doing that, we were not keeping money to the side. We were not keeping our bank accounts how they're supposed to. We have no extra capital. It was always really tight. Payroll was... it was terrible.
Oh my goodness.
Payroll was crazy because we didn't have it under order, everything like that. But going back to how we would prepare the plan going forward, because we're going to be starting Austin up in a little bit for us, our plan is going to be like we're trying to reach a certain milestone. I think our first year milestone is 330 some thousand, but I think we're going to set the goal to 400 just because it's cleaner numbers.
Yeah.
And everything.
And it's higher. Like,
it's higher. You know, Eddie loves the higher numbers. It's cleaner and it's just a higher number. So that's what we're going to set it to. And then we already looked at kind of what we could get from an inventory standpoint. I think we were looking at 10, let's say like 10 20 by 20s, just throwing a rough thing out there. And then I think we said we can get about $500 with fees and stuff for just the 20 by 20. That includes no other stuff they added onto the order. And that would get us basically like if we can rent that out on a regular basis, kind of like I guess we're trying to do it every single week. You know, we know it's not gonna be every week, but we can get majority of that out every single week, or we can flip it a couple times and kind of get it together. That'll get us around like $260,000 plus all the chairs and table underneath it, which will equate for basically the rest of the 40. That's kind of the main plan, and then we're gonna come in obviously and bring the other stuff besides there. We're not just gonna have 20 by 20s there. We're going to have a 40 by 40 there. We're going to have 10 by 10s there. But, you know, just knowing what type of equipment you got to get to there. And the easy way to do that is to take your equipment, see what the cost of you get from the equipment and what you can actually make from it, and then get that from a weekly basis and see if that adds up to your goal. And if that doesn't add up to your goal, then it's pretty much going to be very hard to get there because you just won't be able to have enough stuff to make it there. And I think last time we didn't have enough stuff to get to that actual amount at all. And we didn't have the right things either.
Yeah, so like right now in our current warehouse, we build up like seasonal items that really really helps us out. Like for instance, well, the tents are pretty much year round, but you know, heaters and stuff like that. We didn't really have a big build out over there. that would have been beneficial. Just like different things, like, you know, misters, fans, evap coolers. We were kind of lacking on that side. That would have helped us out because I think we originally started like in the summertime over there and then kind of creeped into the winter where we didn't really have that too much stuff to kind of help out with the variety that customers could have picked over there. So I think this time we're going to be coming in a lot more stronger with certain items that's going to help us out throughout the change in the seasons.
Yeah, because like a big thing was like not having the tents and stuff.
No, that's a big thing. Yeah, we get people calling and then requesting that, but we didn't have them over there. But now we're going to have all that.
Yeah, so that'll come give us a big lift, I think, just from a regular basis. Also, too, we're planning to take some of our bigger tents from the Dallas area and then basically bust them down when needed, and if the job makes sense, especially if we have a couple of them that's going on in the same week, and use that to bust them down and move the inventory between itself. So also, too, our Dallas location could share. If we have an event up here and we need 30, 20 by 20s, we can use some of the Austin ones and bust them up. We can be able to do more events. And also, too, meeting that middle point, that kind of where people, like, don't have anything, but they might be too far from us.
Yeah.
And so maybe we can get in the middle and we can do a wider range of expansion. So that's kind of the plan. And I think for us, it's just knowing, like, how much we're willing to risk at first, because we know we're going to have to drag it for a couple months, because we're going to take a month to get it ready, get it going. And then the next month we'll start renting stuff out. And then hopefully it's the month two, we want to get to the point where we're actually breaking back even or in front of that. That kind of be the plan. Because last time we went there, we were in a storage unit, and we had some difficulties with that. One of the biggest ones has been that, like, our stuff got stolen. And then the second one was what was the thing you said about not being able to get in there?
Oh yeah, like, so pretty much your stuff can be hostage, which it was one time because it had iced really bad over there. And if you're familiar with Austin, it's like really hilly. So the specific area, it was like a downslope, and the whole thing was like a skating ring, and basically they shut it down and nobody could get the items. Then we had deliveries that we had obligations to do that week, and they still wanted the stuff regardless of the ice, and we otherwise would have done it, but we couldn't get the equipment because it was closed down. And then also, it's not like it's 24/7. You can just come in there anytime you want. There's specific timelines. So like preloading and stuff like that, you know, like if you have to do it after, you know, you've been delivering all day, you might be running into some time issues where you can't do that. So another thing that's kind of with the storage units.
And I think our guy there got locked in there a couple of times. I wanted to come get him out. So that's not fun. And also, too, like having a bathroom makes it a little bit harder to get, you know,
people
who don't want to go somewhere without a bathroom.
Yeah.
So that was kind of difficult. So we plan to do that. I think we're just going to we found some places out there. We're probably going to double it. We can show some, like, some breakdowns or some examples that we have there. I was sent Tina some. But, we're going to break down. We're going to go, I think we're going to double the price. Maybe we start at like $12.50. I think our total end cost on a monthly basis, fixed cost, we're going to try to keep that around $225 to $3,000 starting out, something like that. And that should cover the rent, utilities, also to the vehicle expense, with insurance and any insurance papers, things we have. And then, basically our fixed cost. So if we have to drag, that's the biggest thing that we should have to drag for the most part. So that's kind of like just starting out how we look into doing it. Obviously, do your market research, understand where your stuff is coming from, understand what the market actually wants, call around, see what people are requesting, put some stuff out there, get some fillers in. Really help out. But really, when you're getting it, just really just getting a plan of where you want to go and how you're going to get there. What equipment do you need? What's the exact equipment? Running the numbers on equipment, and don't just guess and see what can possibly happen. Like, if you know that during this part of the year 50% of your stuff goes out, then how much stuff do you have for that 50%? How much you need to be able to get to what you want to get to? What does that 50% even look like? What does that consist of? Is it mostly cooler fans? Is it more tents? Like, what is going out at that time period? If it's the winter, is it heaters? Are you doing a lot more inside events, pipe and drapes? You're doing nicer chairs, like Shivari chairs, crossbacks. Like, what's the whole plan? And then you can be able to figure out exactly what items you need to have and what moves you need to make to be able to get the numbers worked out. And it's not that hard to kind of figure it out. So that's how we plan. That's how we like start now. Like, but like how we plan to span here is pretty, I think it's really straightforward. We're getting more vehicles. Mm-hmm. We just recently purchased two of them. We can show them here right now. One of these are going down to Austin for when we go down there, but the other one is going to be here. So we bought a box truck and we bought a Transit high top. It has like a grill on the front of it.
It looks mean.
It's a mean model. Yeah, so we have that one. The Transit is going to go down. I said Transit's going down. We'll see what Eddie decides to do when we go when we get to that point.
Yeah, I mean, with the tent sizes that we're going to have, realistically, any of them can go down.
Yeah.
Because we don't have anything that's too, I mean, I think the biggest pole is like maybe 10 foot, maybe, if that. But yeah, any vehicle can go down and do the jobs that we need to get done.
Yeah, and then what do you think about the top ramp thing at the top? Do we ever use that for something? Is that just, or that's too sketchy?
I think we can. Because like realistically, I mean, you could do that. But like realistically, if we do tents, we can put ladders and stuff like that. Because like people are going to want lights and stuff.
We can leave the ladders on there.
Yeah, you can leave the ladders. Well, I don't know about that because in Austin, you know.
What do you lock it in place? You can put like a chain lock?
I'm pretty sure you can put a chain or something like that. But, you know, there's a will, there's a way. So, like, I mean, you want to leave temptation dangling on the top.
Yeah.
But yeah, we can put a ladder or something like that to kind of help out. And I think the way they can do lights or any kind of little weird odd-end jobs that we get going on. Because that's another thing. Like, you know, lights is kind of a big thing. They're real. We can do strings of lights. We can put lights on the tents. You know, they can just rent just the lights itself. And we have poles that we just run the lights through. Make kind of like a spider web of lights. So it's a lot of different things. I think probably leave that on the truck.
Yeah. So that'd be good. So, yeah. So here in DFW, we bought new trucks. We've been doing some repairs on trucks. We decided that we're going to focus on two other areas inside the rental area so we can get more. Primarily, we have focused on tables and chairs exclusively. We've built up a lot of tables and chairs. We've built up especially a lot of tables. Like, you can sell the wall, just a wall full of tables that we have on the side. And then I think now our biggest two things we're going to be focusing on to grow is what, which two?
It's like... Well, tents for sure, and then I know we're focusing on vehicles as well because it's falling a little bit behind. And we kind of because you can easily get labor in there really fast, but we got 100 people and just like, you know, 6 or 8 vehicles, it's not gonna work out very well. So we're starting to invest more in our actual fleet.
And then let me see. So we have that, and then also too. So I think from a tool spread, if we buy more tools, we get more vehicles from like the actual operation side. We've made investments, really big investments into actually 3 things. I didn't even think about this. Mm-hmm. So we made investments into tents. We've recently, we just bought 3 40x40s and we got a 20x30 pole tent, another one. It's already been sold a couple times.
Oh boy, that's cool.
So we have that, and then we need to buy the middle parts for the 20x20 because we have a huge event that's like $30,000 or $25,000, I think it is. That's going to be the middle ones, and they want 2 40x80 pole tents.
Nice.
To be like set on the sides of each other. So we have to buy the middle parts. So we make an investment. And also, too, we've bought a lot of parts to fix the inside of our tents that on the other side, too. And that's just what we have done right now. I'm pretty sure by the end of this month, when we go through the process, it might be double that process. So that's kind of what we do. And then also, too, we've made a lot of small purchases that end up now becoming big purchases into pipe and drapes.
Oh, yeah.
And our pipe and drape things is starting to grow.
Yeah, I think last time we were talking about, like, we were starting to grow that thing. But I made a bin specifically for our pipe and drapes, and that thing's starting to get filled up.
Yeah.
I want to say it's almost halfway full, which, you know, doesn't take very much. But that thing's pretty deep. I'm very happy about that. And actually, there's 2 more boxes that I told Juan he needs to unbox today. So that's fine.
Okay, so that's good, then. That's good. So we'll be getting closer. I think we have to be getting around, like, close to 300 linear feet, maybe, somewhere around that. I don't know. I know you guys, somebody out there might be like, that's not a lot.
That's nothing.
Nothing. But to us, that's like we had one thing, which was 10 feet for a long period of time.
And that's the thing that I like because, like, you know, like, just like you said, like somebody else has way more than us. But these are the numbers that we can do without that. And then, like, we're starting to build it up. And I know those numbers are going to jump up.
Yeah. And I know a big thing we have to do for us, we've been charging twice the rate that everyone else charges just because we have to sub rent some of them. So now we're not going to do that. We're just going to open up a whole thing. And we're going to push our marketing out to actually be able to cater to those. And we don't have to push those out before because a lot of times we just like, no, we're not going to do it.
Yeah.
So that's good. And then we recently made another about $7,000 purchase. Put the quote thing right here. We can sew this right here. This is on barricades. We bought about 420 square feet of it. So that's something else we're going to be doing a lot more of We've already, surprisingly, we've already got like three events somehow that's already, like once we sold the other one, they said, okay, we're going to sell these. Because one thing that we've been doing is that when we buy a new product or we're going to buy a new product and we sell it, we have the team go through. We have this little thing on our system that has a demand tab, and it shows all the demand for all the items. You can see how it looks right there. On there, the demand tab, it shows everything. Then we try to go through and we do bounties. So basically, we already sold this. We need to try to sell all of these,
yeah.
Too. That's cool. And like whatever it takes for the most part.
Back reference everything that we said, we'll get back to you.
Yeah. And then we try to do that. And maybe we don't sell it for exactly the price that we sell now, but at least we get the whole cost worked out. Because we've just been doing that with the 40x40s, and we started doing the bounties today. We already got one of the 40x40 pole tents from the person in the past. And we only had three on there besides the ones we already sold.
Yeah.
And we've got all three of them to book already.
Nice. But basically, what we're doing is, if it makes sense, then that's the time when you need to start scaling. Like, we had a product, so everything, like, coincides with each other. So, like, the vehicle, like, for instance, the rails, or what are they called, the barricades?
Yeah.
It's time to get another thing, like a vehicle. You can make it work, but if it makes sense, like you said, we got like what, three or four jobs just on the barricades. So, it might make sense to get a new vehicle, which with us, it will, because it's just going to save on time. And then on top of that, we can use that same vehicle for like maybe cement blocks or something like that with a forklift in the mouth. So it's just something that you want to kind of do is like once you get to a certain point in your business that like you invest in a certain item, then if it makes sense to buy it and, to cut time, and not only time, but also the whole operations of how it needs to be done, then it makes sense to scale into buying that specific item.
So when you talk about how much to spend, I recommend, like, I think this year we're going to put in about 15 to 20% of our resources from these late quarters into actually putting back to capital expenditures and growing. Pretty much simple for us. Our plan has been adjusted. We were planning in October not to spend no more resources towards anything. But we had some bets that came out that we were trying to do, and we were trying to grab as much as possible. So now that has moved to November. So November is basically, like they say, no shave November is no spend November coming up for us.
Yeah, so everything that needs to be spent is going to happen this month.
Yeah, so we have to, so we get into it, so we're going to save the rest of it so we can be able to get through the fall, in the winter and everything. So that's kind of the general plan. And then if you need to hire someone, you need to look into, actually, like right now we were doing some hiring, and then we're going to probably settle in a little bit with some people, and then we're going to just kind of keep ourselves a little bit overstaffed on the driver's side, not on the warehouse side. We're going to try to find a way to work it in, but that's just the general plan.
So how can I tell if my business is ready for scaling?
Well, the first thing I would say is that is your items actually going out? That's kind of the main thing right there. Like, are you seeing signs that you're being stressed out? Do you not have enough people? Do you not have enough equipment? Do you have enough vehicles? You know, just are you getting bombarded with demand?
Surplus of money is another thing.
Yeah, yeah. Surplus of money would be a good thing.
That's a great thing.
Yeah.
All right. And so the statistic I have is, according to Startup Genome's survey of 3,200 plus startups, 74% of failures can be explained by premature scaling.
Yeah, I think that was almost us. When you try to go four times,
that was crazy, right?
It was crazy.
4x.
It was expensive.
It was very expensive. It takes a lot of money to grow.
Yeah, it does. It takes an extreme amount of money to grow. And on top of that, too, most times you're not. It's hard to watch the expenses the way you need to, and you don't know if how much should your wages and labor go up compared to everything else. So it's a balancing act. So now that you got your plan and you kind of know which way you're kind of going, now we need to set up some processes, or for the most part, you need to have some processes. What's a couple of processes that they should have, Eddie, set up?
I mean, for operations side, I mean, this is everything as far as like how the customer is contacted, follow-up, how the delivery is going to look like, what kind of proof we do that, take pictures and stuff like that, that way to ensure that they got the right stuff, and then also that they got the right amount of stuff, Just like a whole array of different processes. You just need to do some kind of process, because if you don't have processes, then it'll be hard for the next person to follow and know that they're doing the right things.
Yeah. Right. I think we have a list in the Ultimate Checklist of some of policies that we can say for processes.
Yeah.
So a couple one from the, this is from strictly from the Ultimate Checklist that you need to get down below. This right here, the full policy we talk about cancellation policy. Mm-hmm. Just what's the process you're going to do when someone asks for cancellation or wants to cancel. We have a credit card authorization. If you're going to take credit cards, how are you going to get people to authorize that they're going to give you permission to do it? You can put that inside the actual contract. We recently added a customer ethics, which I'm pretty sure no one reads. But so if a customer goes out there and just acts a fool and you know, crazy and stuff, you know, like I'm pretty sure we can show an example of this somewhere. But if they do something like that, then, you know, we can basically delay their projects being done and you might even get the project canceled. You need a customer pickup and returns. That was like one of the first ones I think we got when we first got into the first location.
Mm-hmm.
Damage waiver, delivery and pickups, all that stuff that go on it. I think you were saying we do what on those? What's kind of like the general process?
For delivery and pickups? The photos. When we're doing drop-offs, we take a photo. That way we can count all the items, because sometimes the customer will be like, hey, you're missing a chair. And, you know. It was all there when we got dropped off.
Yeah. None of this stuff has ever been got delivered to my house. But you have the customer in the back doing this in the video, in the photo on there. We have photo usage. For basically, we use this to take photos of anything that we want to from the customers or for them to give us ability to do that. And then we have refunds. If you give refunds, how you give them, what's the process for them. And you can have a forward-facing one, like a customer-facing one, and then you have one in the back office. We basically have two versions of it. Certain things, technically we don't give no refunds, but certain situations that me and Eddie felt that we might not live up to our what do you call it?
Obligation.
All obligations, we'll make exceptions. Retaking the rental items, which has been really big for us. You remember that one time, a couple times? I mean, a couple times, actually.
That's a couple times, yeah. We had to get the police involved and... And, they just didn't want to release the items or, like, a lot of weird stuff. Like, there's, like, family arguments, and one family member, like, rented the stuff, and then they're like, get out of here, and then, like, I'm going to keep all this stuff in spite. And I guess so they can run up charges on that specific customer that rented the stuff from us.
I remember that. So.
And then there's just a lot of crazy stuff, or somebody dies and, like...
just my stuff.
Yeah, and then, like, then the family gets there, like, oh, all this stuff's mine now. But, yeah, a lot of crazy stuff's happened.
These are just a couple that we have in here. There's a lot more policies that you can put in place, processes you need to do, how you do anything, you need to put it down in there. So, like, even the process, what do you say when you answer the phone? Like, what's the verbiage that is used? Like, how do you handle angry customers? Like, even, like, one process that we talk about, hiring.
Yeah.
What's our process from hiring from start of them getting contacted to them showing up the first day? Or I guess technically our hiring process goes always to 2 weeks out.
Well, it depends on the position. I know there's an array of questions. If if they're not yeses, then we just don't mess with them. Like one of them, like a cell phone, bank, reliable transportation.
A driver's license. But those are kind of our biggest stuff. What's the next step?
As far as?
That's going through the hiring process.
Oh, okay. Once I say yes to all those. And then what we'll do is we'll just, like, put them against each other and see which one has the most experience. Then Elaine will send it over to us and just set up an interview for the morning time. And our managers will go in there, and then we have a list of questions and psychological stuff, too, that we ask them. And then based on their responses, and we'll pick the best ones for our situation.
What's one of the psychological questions?
What's one of the psychological questions?
Yeah.
Oh, we go like this, and if they flinch, it'd be like, you know, when they were a little kid, they got hit. No, it's just like certain things. We want to see what type of person they are. So we'll ask one like...
ask it to Tina.
Tina, if you could pick any animal that you would like to be, what animal would you choose?
Well, I actually believe I filmed this interview for the back office.
Just answer the question, Tina.
What I had said there was I would be a crow because apparently...
They're smart.
Yeah.
But get going with the question.
Okay, then like...
And then explain why.
Then you would say like, okay, if you can pick that crow, what would be your next animal?
My next animal would probably be a coyote.
Coyote, okay.
A scavenger.
A scavenger, all right. And then coyote, crow, if you can't pick those two, will be your last animal.
My last animal would be a cat.
Cat, cool. So anyways, the logic behind that, the questions is the first one is what the person's aspiring to be. The second one is actually the one that the person actually is. And then the third one is what she thinks, or the person thinks that everybody thinks they are. But anyways, that's basically like how that kind of dwindles down. But the number one answer is lion. So you're going to get a lot of lions. Everybody wants to be a lion. They're like, I'm the king. The king of the jungle.
They're like, but I'm a mouse.
Everybody, every single person, the very first ones. Well, not every single person, but majority of people say lion.
Next thing is like, some processes may need to be removed. Like one thing is like you doing all the work. That probably needs to be removed. That's not a good process. Or a process where you only can one person can do it. Because we still have some of these that we're working out. Because specifically on my end, I think most of Eddie's stuff, would you say we've been moving forward towards more?
Oh, yeah, 100%. But even I think right now what we're trying to do is like, at least I'm trying to do. I'm trying to build the hierarchy. Because, like, I think it was, like, this past weekend, like, our main guy went on vacation. And then, like man, it's, like, something written in a horror story. Like, it was, like, the perfect storm. Like, this person's, like, wife had some issues, didn't come. This person just magically disappeared. This person's back got hurt, and then, like, he was out of it. And then, so now this team that I was, like, it should be easy. It'd be self-sufficient. Now it's kind of, like, crumbled down to, like, it needs somebody that has high information on how to do these things to jump in there. So I kind of jumped in for the week. But really what I'm going to try to do is put some more generals or some more captains or lieutenants. And it kind of makes sense, kind of like the Army does. Like, you know, Jimmy there dies and he's a general. Like, oh, the next one down on rank gets to take over because they all have the basic information on do the job.
Yeah, it's like trying to play chess with just pawns. It doesn't always work that well.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. Another thing that we need to look into doing is this time you need to have some type of pricing strategy. There's basically two pricing strategies that you can do. One of them is going to be just based off the regular competition and what everyone else is doing. If you go above the average or below the average, choose which one you want to go. We recommend going above just because, you know, you make more money. The second one is you want to do it based off of what it actually costs you to get a return back. So if you buy a chair for $300 and you want to get a return back in four rentals, then you need to charge $75 for that chair. Kind of like that. You can go that way. And I guess the third one, which I didn't say, is like how much work it is and what it takes and what you have to spend for the work-wise. So like if you're doing a tent or something like that and you know it's going to cost you every down and up, it's going to cost you $100 or so of labor, then you want to be able to have the rental costs plus the service costs and built inside of it. And you want to make money off the service and off the rentals.
All right. So a statistic that I have for us is that organizations that perform well across all dimensions and practices are 3 times more likely than the average to scale their new business.
Yeah. So we're going to hope to capitalize on this right here when we go to Austin. And we're going to show a lot of this stuff on here as well. We hope to show some of the processes and we'll get to see, really get to see our business strategy get put to the test when we go back to go down to Austin and stuff like that. So that's going to be really interesting. We'll see that in the winter. If you haven't already got your copy of the Ultimate Checklist, what are you doing? This is the number one guide in the whole world, made by the Rental Boys, for you to be able to get, based on all our knowledge we have a new version coming up, even more. This is an older version. And you'll see the new one coming up soon. But all the process we talked about in this right here are located in here. Make sure you go request it and then, you know, write a little cool message for us. Help us out in there and comment down if you want it or you need it. And we got you. The number one. So now that you got all your process set up and hopefully you got some people in those process, now we got to look at what about the resources you have. Do you have extra $10,000, $20,000, $5,000, $100,000, whatever amount of resources you have, where are you going to put those at? So we're going to kind of go based off of our situation where we are now. So you can kind of see that could kind of how we allocate these resources and kind of what we do and kind of similar to what we've been doing in the last couple of weeks. So we've made some recent purchases in the inventory, vehicles, and tools. Eddie, talk about a little bit about what we spent, why we spent it, or why you spent it.
Me? Don't put that on me.
Yeah, it's your card.
Yeah, right. Yeah, my name is on it. But main thing that we did here recently is we really put in money on the vehicle part.
Like how much? Like this much?
I know it was more than that. I think we put in that, and then maybe half of this.
Oh, damn.
On vehicles. And, yeah, the reasoning for that was just because, like, the orders are coming in, and one thing that you don't want to do is turn away money. So if anything, you need to figure out how it needs to – you need to figure out how to do that, because, like, when the money's good, you need to just get it because there's going to be a time when it's going to slow down. So that was easy for us. The main thing is we needed vehicles to get the jobs done. And then on top of that, we needed kind of fix the things that were kind of, like, pushing off to the side because we don't want to have something catastrophic happen when we need it the most. So we put a lot of this, I'd say probably half of this, in like repairs and stuff like that. So now we have like two extra vehicles. We're working on the third one because we have a box truck that needs an engine. So that's getting taken care of right now. So bringing it up to three. And one thing that we figured is that we can do anywhere from, you know, on the very low side, we can do like 7 deliveries a day on one vehicle up to like we've seen like 12, you know, I mean, when it's really busy, you know, we can get 12 out. So then that just enables us to do like anywhere from like 20 to 30 extra routes we can do now with these three extra vehicles that we're going to have back on the road. So now we were able to scale up and sell more and make more money now.
Yeah. And during the slow days, we can actually take the vehicles down to repair them, which we've been able to do on a couple of them too. So we can do that. Yeah. We're still looking probably for like one more box truck on top of the one we get fixed. So you said we spent maybe 30 on that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put up two vehicles up on here so they can see it on there. The next thing is that we spent
tools.
I feel like we didn't spend that much on tools, but we got
that wasn't that much because we got like for the stakes, we got the little hammer jack.
We need a review on that.
Yeah, it was pretty good. And then we have for the pole tent that plate, and then we have the winch that pulls it. We have a little baby generator now that we take around with us all over the place.
Can we talk about the person who we found the best steaks on the market?
Oh, the cheapest?
No, we found the best steaks, the strongest steaks.
Oh, man, those things are strong. Oh, you want to just talk about it right now?
Yeah, let's look. Story time.
Are you gonna put the video of me like sitting down?
Yeah, put the video of Eddie in here.
Okay.
Of him sitting down at the personal
rental. Before you put the video, let me tell the backstory on this. So this was a very, very long day. I think it was like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning.
I think it was like 3
or whatever. See, I don't even know because my mind wasn't there. I haven't eaten all day. Okay, and so I was telling Xavier, I can't go on anymore. Like I need food. He's like, fine, baby, let me order some food.
And
he's
like, but baby in a different way, not like that.
No, yeah, he was trying to sweep me up. Nah, just playing. So, so he's like, fine, let me order some food. He's like, I ordered Jimmy John's. And I was like, Jimmy John's isn't open until like 2 o'clock in the morning. He's like, you're right.
They took my payment.
He's like, they're just going to use your money until they refund you tomorrow. I was like, all right, let me order something else. So he orders this big Taco Bell, right? And here I am, like, you know, barely moving at this point. And then Jimmy John's car pulls up perfect, like in the back, because like this is a working area. So we have all these tents and we have steaks out and stuff like that. So he pulls out in the back. We get our sandwich. I'm sitting down. I'm eating the sandwich, okay? Guy leaves. And then I'm sitting down eating the sandwich. And then all of a sudden, here comes zooming in like this BMW. Vroom. And Xavier gets up and was like, hey, don't come over here. And the guy saw Xavier, like, oh, he got scared because he's going to rob me. And then so he zoomed over to the other side and right towards the steak minefield and boom, like hit the steak going maybe like 25, 30 miles an hour. And I was like, dang. And then the guy was like, trying to give it more gas and like. And yeah, so his basically it tore up his radiator, the front of his engine block, all the oil came out, and I was like, man, that steak is strong.
But like, I don't know, he was driving way too fast. It was incredibly too fast. So basically, you know, like you need to see that. So a good way to expand is that once you move one category up, you need to move another category up in the preceding category. So for us,
so what are the categories? Just so they understand.
Okay, so you have inventory. Wait, first, you just go past that. You have leads or sales, whatever. Leads, inventory, labor, vehicle, tools. And all of these are at some point in your company are some level up in the company. If you have like a bar graph, Some are up here, some are down here, some are up here. Hopefully your inventory is not up here and your leads are down here. Nothing's going out. I mean, you're doing something completely wrong. You're just buying to buy. But you want to move these accordingly to each other. You want to put more resources into leads once you got all the things maxed out and you're doing all the work and you have more work, you have more stuff, more inventory, more tools than you need, then you want to up your leads. And when your leads go up, you want to increase your inventory, increase your labor, increase your vehicles, and kind of do that across the whole board. Those five things are the biggest ways that you can go through doing. So, and then when it comes to actual like sourcing these things, for us, I think we found like some, we have different vendors, tents and stuff from Salina, which we went out there and saw the whole facility, very nice facility, really bigger than I thought it was. A new place that, not new to me, not new to Eddie, the cargo, U.S. Yeah. cargo.
Like, yep. For straps.
Straps and
stakes.
The stakes are cheaper and bigger and longer. So you can, that's one place that we get some stuff. You just want to find where you can source stuff the cheapest and which you can find stuff that's the best. And no knock on Salina tents. No knock on them at all. But we just seen that the stakes just are a little bit better over there and for the cost and stuff. But we still have Salina. We still have stakes from them, too, that we use that we like. I don't know if they would have held up against a BMW M3 hatchback going at 35 miles per hour. So I don't know if they would have done that, but I'm pretty sure they will hold your tent stuff from flying away. So a couple of ways that we actually go through and keep our inventory tracking. What's a couple things you've been doing? What's the biggest thing that you say?
Well, the biggest thing for inventory tracking is we just have a specific person, counting the stuff when it comes back into the warehouse. We have a specific area that it basically has to be dropped off. A person has to hand count it. They don't know how many items are supposed to be there, and then what they do is they bring that count to the manager that knows how much is supposed to be in that box, and then they basically make sure that that's what it's supposed to be. I think that's the biggest thing, because like now we're able to identify when certain items are not where they're supposed to be. If they picked up 10 chairs, supposed to be 15, we can easily identify that, and we kind of quit losing equipment that way.
Another thing really quick is going to be like where to put your money at. A quick way to kind of identify that is where you're having the most issues at. If you constantly have people coming back and forth to the warehouse and you don't have enough storage or not the storage, if you don't have enough vehicles and stuff, that'd be vehicles. If you don't have enough people and it seems like people are working 12 hours, 15 hours, 30 hour shifts, the cameraman's out here setting up six tents. You know, like if you have stuff like that going on, you need more people. Not from experience, but it just is like that. You can just see where you need to put resources. If you come into your warehouse, you can't find nothing because it's too spaced out, then you probably need more space. So those are kind of the ways.
How many stacks do they need?
Hopefully not many. Well, it depends how big your business is. If you make $10,000 a year, literally the scale, you might only need $1,000. That just might just be it right there. That's all you might need. Maybe that's $1,000 in linens, and that might get you $10,000 back. Who knows? Now, if you make $100,000 a month, like it shows right here, $10,000 is not going to push the needle at all. You might need to be spending, 10%, 15% of what you're making a year to actually get a sizable increase on inventory. But it depends on how much your inventory you have, how many times you put the inventory out. Are you at the width? Are you at the very ends of the inventory where you don't have no more demand? Or do you have a surplus of demand that you can just keep adding on to, depending on which items that you're using? So it kind of depends. If you need help, put your questions down in the comment, and we can tell you a rough amount what you should spend.
All right, so the statistic that I have for us today is, according to the popular definition, about half of startups survive the first 5 years, and only 1 in 200 become actual scale-ups.
I don't know, that is interesting right there. I'm hoping that we could be one of these scale-up companies. Hopefully you can join us on this ride, and you can see everything I think we have shown has shown that we can scale, but like anything, it's always what we've done recently. And I think you'll see once we do the Austin one, you'll be able to see the transition. We're going to be a lot more, we're going to be very transparent on the Austin numbers and figures across the whole board as we go through the process.
If you guys want to make your business legit like Eddie's here, then you guys should consider getting Zen Business. What Zen Business is it'll help you open up an LLC. Once you get an LLC, it'll protect your business as well as limit your liabilities from your assets.
And it's sponsored by Mark Cuban.
and it's sponsored by Mark Cuban.
Since you're trying to scale, you can't forget the most important thing. Where the money gonna come from, where the leads are. Everyone tries to go buy all this inventory, fill up the warehouse, get all these tents. Look real good. So people go do that. You don't want to do that. You don't want to first, like you got all this other stuff. You got the plan. That's your plan. Now it's actually time to get into the ground zero, which is we need to get leads and we need to raise your leads up so you actually can scale. Because there's no reason to buy any equipment if you can't sell it. That's just terrible. And like we've been there a couple times. Actually, I don't remember us being there, but I think we might have been.
I don't think we've ever been.
But we could have been there in the past. But we've been more lead focused from the whole time coming up. And we put a lot more resources into just sales. So the first thing you're going to be is that you want to go into your handy dandy notebook, write down, and hopefully you have a list somewhere of where you've been getting leads from. If it's through Google AdWords, Bing, Google Places, cold outreach, social media, whatever you've been doing, emails, you've been stealing people's business stuff from your partners, something like that. Whatever you've been doing. Just figure out where the stuff is coming from so you can be able to double down onto it. And most times, you only need one method. So it can be SEO you've been using, whatever it is. So let's say from the standpoint of us. For us, we basically are tapping into SEO, and we're tapping into basically Google, what is it? I'm losing my mind. Google Ads and Bing Ads. So we're doing ads, and we're doing search, and we do a little bit of Facebook ads, but it's not as significant as only for retargeting. So you want to do that. See where your stuff is coming from. Then you want to see if you can put more resources into there. So most of the money you're going to put in there needs to be actually into the ad so you can get the other stuff. So if you're spending $5,000, maybe you need to spend $10,000. If you're spending $20,000, maybe you need to spend $40,000. So whatever the number is on there. And you want to start trying to build that up so you can build out your leads. And then once you actually have leads, we're going to skip to the part you have leads. What are they going to do now? Because just having leads don't do nothing for you.
And once you have the leads, you need to start working on your conversions. actually closing the sales. I mean, because if you can't close them, then there's just not going to be any money to grow. So we need to start getting down on the procedures and the tactics. And like we mentioned before, is like when is it okay to, you know, everybody's like a stickler, like this is the price and, you know, it's not going to go anywhere. But you have to take in consideration that you paid money for that lead to come in, you know. So that being said, you need to have some kind of process and look at and see how much profit we're going to get if we move it down. You know, sometimes the difference is like $100 and there's like plenty of profits, to that goes on the back of it. So you just need to have something down that'll make the money come in. That way you can have all options to grow.
Yeah. So these would be simple stuff, follow up, reaching out to them when you first start out, and really those two things get you most of the way there. And then, like we talked about in a previous one, cross sales, upsells, downsells, additions, all those things will help increase your just the amount of money you get, but also to the amount of conversions. No. Generally, if you're not running ads, your stuff should be close to the 40s, 50s, because you have less people coming through. And most people are coming from an inbound standpoint, so you should get more. You're running ads, 25-35%, you should be sending somewhere around there or plus, depending on your offer that you're offering. If you offer a free delivery, you're probably around 70%. We've been there before. So, you know, if that's your thing and everybody's less than 5 miles away, maybe all power to you on there for the most part. Okay, so now we need to decide on where we need to put this money at. Okay, so let's say we got $30,000 we're going to be putting into marketing. So for us, we would put all $30,000 in Google AdWords and we would get $300,000 back. So that's what we would do. But let's say for you, if you want to go more safer route, I would say put half of the money that you do in the stuff that you know that 100% works to half to 60%. So this is 66%. And then you can have 33% for experimentals and stuff like that. And then you put your effort into the free stuff, which would be cold calls, Facebook Marketplace, and you just run those. And you still can get stuff on there. I know we talk junk about it sometimes, but Eddie's just working out a deal right now for how big? 40 by what?
120.
40 by 120, which just by itself, the tent is $4,800, plus all the stuff underneath it.
That's so free.
Yeah. As I said before, there's a couple different options. If you're good at social media, SEO, Google Places, Bing, Google Ads, Yelp, Facebook Ads, Facebook Marketplace, Instagram Ads, which if you're doing a venue, that has been like a huge thing for us. It's in the Instagram Story Ads, gets a lot of people in, works out too. And that with Facebook Marketplace, is two things that we use really to keep this place packed. Facebook on Marketplace is, I would say, 60% of it. 30% is from the other one, the recent one, and then 10% is from, I don't know what it's from, but it's from like event. It's a whole bunch of stuff.
Event detective.
Event detective. A bunch of stuff. It's like every time we try to we're about to remove the service, we get someone to book
surplus.
We get a surplus of people to book it. Like okay, so that'll keep them over for the next couple of months. Mm-hmm. And then they bill us.
The statistic that I have for us today is, on average, getting a new customer can cost 6 to 7 times more than keeping and engaging customers you already have.
Yep, that's pretty straightforward on that one. That's what we believe. But I have a challenge for you guys, and this is something interesting right now. If anyone can send me, Tina's going to say something right now. She's going to say her name. If you can say her name and you send me in the next week or two, while this is posted, if you can say Tina's name, we're going to just give one part, though, not the whole thing, because we don't want people looking Tina up, going to her house and stuff, like that last guy did. but we're going to do one part. If you can say Tina's name, we'll give you 30-minute consultation and throw you some Starbucks gift cards, too.
Okay, so you want me to say my name?
Yeah, only one time.
All right. How you pronounce my name, my legal name, is, and this is all my first name, but it's two separate words. Ian Yi.
But yeah, so that's a little challenge right there. But you know, we're about to get into the rental rundown.
How are they even going to send the recording to you guys?
Well, if you're on the podcast, there's a thing that you can send recordings on. We'll put that in somewhere on the comment section too, and you can just do the recording to there. And then we'll know who the real ones is out there. But we appreciate you guys even watching this long.
All right, awesome. So next, we're getting on to the rental rundown. So I actually have two questions in this segment. The first question that I have is, how much can my profits increase if I scale successfully?
Yeah. So the simple answer was that if you're making 40% profits and you scale at 100% correct, what do you call it? Successfully, then you have 40% of whatever the new number is. If it's 40% on 10,000, it's 4,000. 40% on 100,000 will be 40,000, which that'll be 40s right here, 40 big boys. You can do that. So that's the simple answer, Eddie.
Yeah, I mean, just like you said, I mean, like it'll increase according to like how much you know you make.
So. Yeah, should do that. And then if you're doing it really good, you will see that your profits should start to increase as you get bigger because you are taking on less costs. Your fixed costs stay the same and your revenue increases.
Yeah.
So that's the general point that you kind of want to do. You want to bring in more revenue, but also expend less capital to do that.
All right. Awesome. My next question is, what can happen if I don't properly manage to scale my business?
Well, Eddie can tell you all about this.
You start running out of money, that's for sure.
Yeah. Come here. You see how fast this goes? This is how fast it goes.
Yeah. If you jump in a building that's way too big for you and you can't bring in the money fast enough to pay that thing, or, you know, you take on loans and the cash flow isn't keeping up with that, and you'll go under very fast. A lot of different things that could happen if you're not properly managing your scaling.
Since we're talking about this, actually, so let's say that someone is noticing that they're failing with their scale. Is there any way to identify a certain point where they should just stop and try to look at other ways to put money into their business, or do you guys know?
It depends on like what area are they failing in the scale. Now, if it's like, for instance, like we'll just say like you bought, you know, you have a habit of buying equipment and it's not going out, then you can always turn around and sell that equipment and shift that money, or if you have the receipt, you can go return it in some cases, and you can shift that money that you placed there to the scale and be more profitable and put it somewhere else where it actually start showing some effect to the business. But otherwise, I mean, like I said, if you bought a brand new vehicle or something like that, and you thought you were at that point in the business, the scale, I don't know how that would work. I'm pretty sure you can return that thing too, right?
Yeah, you can turn it for a loss or something. Yeah. You would know, if anybody knows.
Or I don't buy new vehicles.
But you literally work at a place that sells vehicles.
Yeah, I do, but... Yeah,
you never somebody try to return the vehicle through you?
No, never to me. They just park it, and then when they can find it, like, it's been here the whole time.
I guess you can do that.
Yeah, you can do that.
But I would say just when your cash flow it just starts to go negative. So if you're sending, if you're spending $10,000 and then, or you get $10,000 and it's $90,000 gone, then you know you have a problem. So the biggest thing is just cash flow. I think that's a good way to watch it on a regular basis. You can see just from a cash flow standpoint, same as Eddie said too, if you're buying inventory and the inventory isn't going back out, and like you bought $10,000 worth of inventory and you don't see you getting a return on that, then they're probably not the best thing to do. You can either stop purchasing stuff, sell the stuff like Eddie said, or you can go through and just keep putting more advertisement efforts in there. Because most times, most things that you do buy, it might not rent for the price that you have it at, or you're not putting enough effort into the advertising to do it. So you got to look into that. Or you just bought something completely for yourself and it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for watching this video with us. If we've ever given you any value at all, please subscribe, like, all that stuff, or give us a review on any of the podcasts that you listen on to as well. And we hope this content helped you out. Make sure you get the Ultimate Checklist. Ultimate Checklist will really help you out and get you where you need to go. We have a whole new version coming out, and we keep you updated on that. So please make sure you look into us. I'm Xavier Kelly.
I'm Eddie Salcedo.
And we are the Rental Boys, and we'll see you on the next one.
See you.
Yeah. Who wants to see Eddie count this money?
Very comfortable.